welcome to Big Blender Radio. We're so excited. We have four guitarists and Jason Blake on the show today to talk about his new instrumental prog rock album called Subsequent Ruins. Now, Subsequent Ruins, like, it kind of makes us look interior at ourselves, but then also at the world. It's just a really good album, and it also features the drummer Marco Miniman, and we're very excited to have Jason on the show. Go to his website now, jasonblakemusic.com. That's where you can find out all about him, his band, his solo career, but also get the album. So Jason, welcome. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me.
Hey, so are you in Chicago today? I know you're based in Chicago. Are you there now, or are you touring? What's up?
I am in Chicago. In fact, I was just out in Chicago traffic, which was terrible. They're redoing one of the major highways that runs right through here.
I know.
It's terrible getting through town. So.
Yeah, I know. I went through there on a Friday night. Well, you know, Nancy and I, we travel full time. And so, I mean, and you're in a t-shirt. I don't know how you're doing that. We're in Maryland right now. And it's sunny finally. I actually have a sunburn, but I'm like, I'm in shawls and cold still. But Chicago, we went there on a Friday night, like stupidly, like it. We must have hit like party hour because we were in a traffic jam. Yet, like everyone's really slow, but there were people that were 100% not slow. Like, what? They were late for pizza. What was going on there? But I almost got in a wreck because there was like a band playing in a. You know, you guys have all those tall skyscrapers. I could see a band playing in a room up there somewhere. And I'm like, I want to see. And I almost got a wreck over it. Like, stupid. But what is going on in your city?
The plan is that they're going to be redoing one of the major highways for the next 3 years. So it's going to wreak havoc on the city. It's, I don't know what the plan is, but... apparently, it starts with bridges. I think they're redoing the bridges, and then they're doing the highway again. And then they're starting one sounds a little easier, but oh, it's terrible. And to the weather point, I am wearing a t-shirt today, but yesterday it was like 30 degrees. So it's just also fluctuating wildly here right now.
It's weird. We were up in northern Wisconsin, and they were like, oh, at this time of year, it was the end of March. Should be fine. Within an hour, there was a snowstorm for 3 days. You know, I ran out of wine. That's not funny. it's not cool. But, you know, it actually was cool. But I think it's interesting because the infrastructure across this country is really under. I mean, we traveled the pandemic. Everybody else is locked in. We're out playing in parks. That's what we do is we travel, is we document parks and public lands. And we did more parks, over 1,000. I know it. And we had the roads to ourselves, and now we're like, everybody get off the highway. It's ours. It's ours. But I kind of feel like your music would be really good in the car, like, you know, but then you'll get a ticket. I always talk about music that will give you a ticket. But then you have this amazing, like, something I really, really love is dynamics in music. And I want to talk about the war guitar. And everybody listening, it's War, W-A-R-R. It's not like the band War. I'm going to talk about that. But there's this amazing dynamic that you have. And I know everybody looks at you as being like this technical master, but I want to say, yeah, you've got the technical side and the technique, but there's a lot of dynamic and emotion in it. You know, I just got to say that because you build, you drive, and then you really hit it. And I'm going, how are you doing this and the bass? Like, I want to know that part. But then you take us on this, like, suddenly the angels are coming. So, yeah. Like, it's like, it is like a traffic jam.
Well, some of that, too, it's intentional. So I always think of storylines, and I always think of kind of where I want the music to go. So different parts of it should evoke different emotions. And so I think that that's where that comes from, is I want there to be, you know, this loud, exciting part, but then if they're the part of, in my mind, the story that I'm telling would get a little quieter, it seems like it would be a good time to do that. So I intentionally work with the dynamics within the song and within the whole album, but then within songs as well, because of that storytelling idea that I take with the music. So that's where that
starts. As an instrumental artist, like with what you're doing, that's an interesting journey doing the storytelling, you know, because, but it is, it, you allow us to have our own trip by doing that too.
And that was always my goal. So what's interesting when you say that, having your own trip, that was initially when I started doing this, that was always my plan. Leave it to the listener to interpret and to kind of go on their own journey. And I did a couple albums where I don't think people really understood what the idea was behind it. And so it made me think like, okay, maybe I need to give a little bit more details as to what the songs are about and what the story is about, at least to put a, you know, like a, an idea of like reading a book, at least give the setting or in the characters. Now they can play with it within that, but I needed to give a little bit more. So I started doing that. So now there's definitely an idea. It's out there what this idea of this album is about. And I think that's a big difference. I used to just
Tell everybody that just tuned in, like, you know, what the idea is, because I'm like, we're going to combust. I do want to tell people also just tuning in that we, for YouTube, if you're listening or watching on YouTube, you got to see the video False Streets of Entanglement. And when you start to actually read the names of the songs, you'll get it too, that like Pretense of the Hurt is one of my favorites, because it seems very timely, but anyway. But yeah, give everyone a little overview of, you know, your direction with this and the album cover too.
So the idea started with, I had read the, what is the Pied Piper, the story of the Pied Piper. I knew it as a kid, and I knew it all along, but I think I must have had watered down versions of it. And so when I read it as it was intentionally written, I realized that, well, this story is a lot deeper, first of all, than I remember it. And the second thing was I couldn't help but finish and say, wow, there's a lot of correlations to today that exist within the story itself. So that led one thing to another. And I thought, like, you know, this Pied Piper leading the rats out of town, leading the children out of town is kind of like what I see these kids just walking aimlessly down the street or with phones, like looking down, just walking aimlessly. Like, you know, a wall could be in front of them. They might even walk into a wall.
We travel. So you'll stop at a rest area, a park, you know, even being in a downtown, and you watch people literally with their phone walk into street lamps and cars.
Yeah.
And I laugh. I'm sorry, but if you're that.
Right. You're so into it that they're oblivious to the world. And so it made me think, like, wow, you know, there's some truth to that. But then specifically with children, like, what are we doing with children where we're grooming them to be so involved with these machines that they're becoming very dependent on them? You know, I see in restaurants parents handing iPads and their phones to kids just to pacify them, like,
here's your cookie.
Right. And it just seems like, you know, well, that made me think, like, you know, we're doing a lot of the same thing of just leading these children kind of blindly off of a cliff. And I don't think they know that what they're doing, really. I think they're just being fed this and that's become a part of their existence, but I don't think it's very good. So that started the whole idea. Then with the artwork, this idea to make it be a booklet, like it was a lost booklet of a child that was, you know, one of these children that has been led blindly, you know, away from their family, away from what they know is safe, with technology taking them away. And so it's a little booklet and it looks like a little child's booklet. And then the artwork in it specifically is meant to look like the artwork of a child. So if you go through it, you see that, not to get too much away, because I'd love for people to actually buy it.
So this is going to be like it's like an actual album that people, I know we travel, so everything's digital for us, unfortunately.
Yeah.
If I could have vinyl in my car, I would. Oh yeah, show and tell.
So the cover looks like what you have there, but when you open it up inside, the same little booklet. And inside of the booklet is, I'll just read some of it. So it starts with "Something Found." And then you can start to see, and I'll flip through a couple of the pages. some of the children's art, and then it ends with someone missed. And the idea here is in this booklet is that it's the child's art through the course of what this story was. So if you look, you'll see that the child, let me give you a good example. There's a picture of mom and dad, and Mr. Tablet. Mr. Tablet becomes more important. He's the central figure in this picture, more important than mom and dad. The tablet has become kind of this child's best friend. And there's some scenes in here where he talks about his friend getting a phone, and then now he doesn't see his friend anymore, kind of thing. And so that was the idea. It's just that I wanted it to have a visual component to it as well to tell the story. And it's, I think it's, you know, done really well in the sense that it looks like what we tried to make it do. It looks like a child.
This is really cool because it's visual story. It's storytelling, right? But it's like the music is the emotion of the story, you know? Right. Are you going to do like an art display where you perform and people see the art big, like in a gallery kind of thing? It would be so cool.
I mean, I've been doing some shows. I'd love to get the artwork more involved in it. It's a good idea. I got to figure out how to.
It would be so cool for people. I remember Imagine having that little kid's drawing face, right? You know, but it's like, when you see that, kids' pictures, I mean, psychologists go nuts over kids' pictures. They go, uh-oh, they did this, they're using this color, uh-oh, you know. But when you say, like, here's the phone as the prominent figure, and when you were talking, I'm like, damn, this is like a whole technological, I can say the word, cult. It's like a weird cult that we human beings have created. I mean, right now when we're looking at AI and everybody's going like, ooh, this can get really weird, and the big wigs of the AI and the technology are all going, this is going to get weird when we look at kids. And it kind of reminds me of people that are addicted to casino machines.
Right.
I mean, blackjack and poker, I understand gamblers with that, but at least there's some human interaction and some psychology that goes with it. But casino machines and the ding ding is what people are addicted to. And now we're doing it with young kids. They want those notifications and those dings.
Right.
And that's kind of creepy. Like, it's a weird drug. Mm-mm.
Yeah.
I want a brand new drug.
It's scary. And I think that's kind of what this idea was, is it's done, I believe, in a more artistic way, but it is a somewhat dark topic to think about, you know, children kind of being taken.
Yeah, it's real.
So, we very intentional with the artwork. I'll kind of just show you a couple of them, but it's really about the artwork. This one here talks about how, let me find the one.
Well, who did the artwork?
This is Hajo Muller. So he's a German artist. You would maybe know him. He did the album cover for Stephen Wilson, the Raven That Refused to Sing. He's done some work for Porcupine Tree. He's done some work for, I think he did a Stickman album. So he's done some really cool stuff. I've worked with him now. I think I've done 5 collaborations with him. This was our most elaborate, where we really like I said, it's a 12-page booklet inside. So there was a lot more to it.
But we're also wanting to have that kind of art back of storytelling. Yeah. We're tired of Spotify streaming. I mean, we all do it, but please go stream and do things. But to actually have an art piece now, we're starting to get to this point of like, if we don't have any books in the room, it's a very empty place when we don't have books and music and vinyl and, you know. So do you consider this ever going to vinyl? Because I know this is an expensive project too, what you've done, because you're printing. We're a magazine background, so I'm going, this is special.
Yeah, potentially. What always messes me up, and I have to look into this one, because I know with my other band, I messed up by having a 21-minute long song. I always mess up with length of songs and fitting on vinyl sides. I wonder, this one might be able to, I might have to chop a song off or something like that, but it's a potential to do it somewhere down the road. The idea with doing the booklet too, though, was very much what you're speaking to, is I wanted to move away from everything being streamed. So I wanted there to be a purpose for someone to buy the album. And even if they don't own a CD player anymore, which is, I often hear that, like, I don't even have a CD player anymore, I'm hoping that there's something there to just buy the album simply to have the art and understand the story a little bit better. And then, yeah, if you need to stream it because that's your way of listening to music, that's fine. But I wanted to offer something more than just, you know, what streaming is just essentially the cover. And I don't think that, well, while I like the cover, the cover is more explained when you see that it's the
it's
cover
a book,
of the booklet. Yeah. So I think that was a part of it, was just like giving the audience something more to it and hope that they'll buy the CD and experience the whole experience.
I know. It's so important, especially with instrumental music. To me, it's like put your headset on and just really dig into it. You know, look at the art, close your eyes, and take the trip, you know, or take the journey, whatever you want to say, you know. And to me, that, I mean, listening to it is like, okay, I want to get into the war guitar, because it's fascinating to me. How did you get started into war guitar? Were you a guitarist, bass player first, and or did you start out on war guitar? And can you explain what that is for those who don't know? Because it's fascinating. I mean, that's a machine. Like that's hard on, I mean, when I look at it, I'm going, that is hard on the hands. That is, do you have to do exercises for that? Because that's a bad boy. Like,
yeah, it's
huge.
More mind exercises than physical exercise. Although there's a part of it that's strenuous, and that's the bending this hand
yeah.
Do a little bit of an acrobatic move. But I started with it. I think my journey actually makes sense in looking back in hindsight. I started on piano, and I think there's
okay,
a lot
yeah.
of piano in touch style guitar. So
yeah, because you're tap, yeah.
Yeah, because it's all being tapped with both fingers.
Mm-hmm.
Both fingers are doing different things, so, or both hands, I should say. So the piano was definitely a starting point for that. Then I became a bass player, and I would say that the correlation to the war guitar from there is just that I was doing a lot of tapping on the bass guitar.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, I was really into like what Stu Hamm was doing, or Billy Sheehan, and they were doing the tapping on the four string bass, and I really never wanted to move beyond a four string bass. Like, people were moving into 6, 5 string basses, and I just always thought that, like those guys, like, you could do everything on a four string bass. Except then somebody turned me on to the Chapman stick. I started on the Chapman stick and just kind of fell in love with this whole approach that everything was tapped, and it was just a very different, more percussive sound. I liked that
mm-hmm.
part of it. I started on a stick bass, which was 8 strings. It just opened up everything that I thought that I wanted, you know, to do only on 4 strings. All of a sudden, having 4 more opened up a whole new world. And so I thought, oh, maybe this is what I want to do. I moved to a grand stick, which has 12 strings.
Wow.
And it's essentially similar to a war guitar, but there was something about the Chapman stick that for me just felt empty, and I found it in the war guitar, and that was a lot of just having that body. If you know the design of a Chapman stick, it's just a kind of a plank of wood that clips
mm-hmm.
onto your belt. And I just felt that it was missing that guitar feel and tone, for that matter. And so I moved to the war guitar, and then I would say my journey on the war guitar began, because then I just threw myself into the instrument, playing tons and recording tons. And so there's a bit of a process, I would say, to get there. But ultimately, I think it all makes sense in hindsight how I came upon this instrument.
I think you're really right about the piano. You know, I didn't think that when I was listening, because the piano, you can do the bass and the melody at the same time, right? And you can balance that out. But then you're still like, so it's all tap, So that's how you're able to do the bass part at the same time.
Right. The difference
Now you
is,
can't drink and drive.
yeah. Well, that's the difference. So the tuning is, I think, what throws a lot of people off, because you have the melody side, which typically I flip between my hands and play sometimes the melody in my left hand, but typically speaking, my melody is being played with my right hand. And that is tuned in fourths like a guitar. The difference is I have a low, C sharp. So instead of like a guitar having a low E, then on the bass side, I have a low C. But the difference is now, if you notice, if you look at one of them, you'll notice that the thick strings are in the middle and they kind of fan out. So it's tuned in fifths going out. So that's the hard part, I think, that people kind of like
But
look at
even
and
having the thick strings in the middle is, it's odd, but then it's not like I'm, because I play guitar and I play bass, but like, yeah, no, dude,
It makes all the
how do you
sense in the
do
world.
it?
To be honest with you, it makes all the sense in the world once you start playing it.
But
It is hard to wrap your head around just the fact that you're kind of moving in opposite directions. But that's even an intentional thing, because if you, when you start to play, you'll realize that your hands move away from each other versus coming and kind of like meeting in the middle and
Isn't
creating.
it in a weird way like doing slide in a way? Like if you've got a lap steel, like if you're doing that, it's almost, it's not, but it is. Like to me, it's, that makes sense to me. Like I can do lap like that, I don't know, just feels like a flow. But what you're doing to me, I just have ultimate respect for. It's like it's cool because you're just able to make it flow and it's not chop, it's choppy when it wants to be. It's like da-da, you know, and then it's like, oh, now we're gonna float, and I'm like, okay, I needed to float there, all right, and then you know it's coming around the corner again, it's gonna come get you, you know. So that's amazing. So how do you actually write music? Are you writing it on the war guitar? Are you like, are the melodies and everything, then do you just record it on your phone? Are you writing actual musical notes and all that? Like,
A little bit
are
of a
you that,
combination of
are you
both.
technical?
A little bit of a combination of both of them. As of lately, I find myself doing most of my writing in strange times, strange places. So a lot of it ends up on phone because it's the one thing that I actually have on me. And so I'll just like take a video of what it is that I'm doing, or just the audio of what I'm doing. But it depends. In some projects, it's a little bit more written out because, you know, we have time to sit down and analyze what we're doing, and so I'll write it out. And other times, it's just more like, hey, this idea came to me and I got 5 minutes. Sorry, what can I do? I'll just pop my phone on. So I'm kind of scattered all over when it comes to where these things are. And what I eventually do is just bring them all together at some point. But when it comes to writing like these albums, I really like starting with an idea first. So this idea
Concept,
of what Subsequent Ruins was about is what started everything, because without having that idea, I don't know where I want it to go. And once you know the direction of the storyline, so to speak, it helps me kind of decide, all right, now I want this to be slower. I want this to pick up. I want this to be sad. I want this to be happier, kind of a thing. And as a result of that, that's what kind of guides a lot of the writing. So without that, I think I would just randomly, you know, and I've done that before too, just randomly write and just come up with ideas. But then they feel like, they don't always, to me, they end up on music that has no thematic idea. They're just, they're, but when I have a thematic idea, I like to have everything written
Cohesive.
for.
You know, that's the thing where I said to you, like it flows, and I always listen for that. That's like how, because it's obviously got a theme, but the way it's written, that, like I said initially, was the emotions were there to me. And I know everybody was like, you know, he's the technical master. And I'm going, I get it. But like there's this whole other side here. Like you can feel what he's saying. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, so I know you're like the emotional doctor there. Like technique is also emotion. And I really want people to understand that. Like, because I think sometimes people forget that there's brilliance and beauty and every emotion in instrumental music and not always go, I'm predominantly a singer in music, you know, but instrumental music to me is huge in finding different ways of actually carrying a tune. And also to it just can go places that we may not think of going with our voices. I think it's a fascinating thing.
I mean, you know where that comes from for me is from movie soundtracks.
Oh,
I
yeah.
So I love going to movies and feeling what the song is doing to a scene. You know, if you were to take out the words being spoken and just listen to music, a lot of times you can feel that emotion of what's happening in the scene. And so I always like that. I come away from watching movies and will listen to the soundtrack. To me, I don't need to see the movie again. I want to listen to the music again. So I've always
It's like silent pictures had music, and the music used to tell you what was going on.
Right.
So now what we do is we have no clue about anything about sports. So like if it was like there's this big game on and you put it on TV or whatever, I don't care if it's boxing, football, especially in rugby is really good. You put classical music on and then you watch everybody go to that, and it changes the entire feeling of what that football game or match, I don't know what to say, happens. Like, and so people don't like, now if you played AC/DC or something like that to it, it's going to change the whole tone just by the music from what you're watching. We do that on road trips. Like to me, when I was listening to your album, I'm like, I could be like a real badass in traffic listening to it. It's like, I'm getting around the cars, like, get the hell out of my way. Get out, you know, going back to our traffic, you know, what's happening in Chicago, because there's like everyone stagnant. And then there were these people that, oh yeah, I'm going to do this. I'm like, you're so Chicago. You know what I mean? And they're like getting in there. And I'm like, I ain't doing that. I got a long distance to go because I'm the cross country person. Right. But then you get into city traffic. You're like, oh yeah, I'm in there. And then all of a sudden you have those little free moments and you're like, okay, I can cruise a bit. And just when you think you're completely okay to cruise, you know what happens.
Right.
So I think your album is very much that way. And I think when you think about cell phones and kids on phones and being led into this, it is a cult, actually. When you think about social media, what's tagged into all of this and algorithms and all of this stuff, it's like this weird twisted thing that we all use as adults. Kids use it. We are all in that little herd.
Mm-hmm.
I love that you did that song. I love that song.
Yeah.
And it is false. It's this weird. Yeah, it's like hanging out with those so-called friends in high school that really weren't your friends.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm glad that you felt an emotional connection to it, because I think that's another thing I really strive for, is that, you know, it could be odd time signatures. It could be, you know, technical in some sense, but I don't do necessarily technical for the sake of technical. I do technical because it's what comes out of me on that instrument. And so there's always that component that I'm trying to really make it more of an emotional connection to the music. So it's, you know, some of the stuff that might sound technical, like I'm not a big fan of the person who just is like playing a million notes and you feel nothing.
Right.
My notes are intentional. And if you get it, that's great. You know, sometimes people might not necessarily get it, but that is the intent behind every note. There's more of a purpose behind them, as opposed to just like, hey, watch me play 1,000 notes.
Look, I'm a badass. Look at this. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's musical masturbation, really. And that happens with guitarists. Like, seriously, it does. No offense, everybody. Now I'm going to get in trouble. But the emotional part, like I talk about driving, but everybody's got their own thing. And I don't, you know, I hate talking about music sometimes because I don't want to influence what people listen to. I want them to hear the album on their own and get their own thing. And I think it's cool to have a concept, but if someone doesn't know your concept, they're still going to get that same kind of emotional ride, I think, but it's going to be in their own scenario. You know what I mean? And that's, it's personal and it sits with you, but it's a, It's well crafted. I dig it. I'm like, yay, I'm glad I found out and know. So now, are you still with your band? Tell everybody about that. And are you going to do a tour with this solo album, or how is all that working?
Yeah, so I'm actually rehearsing right now with a drummer for the solo album stuff. So that's in the works to do some promotion for that. To what extent, I'm not exactly sure right now, but shows are being booked. The band is actually in the studio right now, so I'm kind of balancing like the in-between time while we're recording a new album is while I'm promoting this one. And so we just tracked the drums about 2 weeks ago. And so guitarist and I will be going back into the studio to start finishing that up. I think it's going to be a bit of a process though, so I don't see it being done really anytime soon. I mean, my initial goal was by the fall of this year, but I don't know if we'll meet reach that just based on this is becoming a big thing. Where this is going to be, I think, our biggest, best album we've done. It's we're putting a lot of time and energy into everything. So it's taking us a little while, but in a good way, not because we're dilly-dallying or anything like that. It's just we're putting a lot of energy into this one. But that's kind of what's going on behind the scenes with the band Anzio Cry. So we're spending that time. But that also opens up the opportunity for me to spend time promoting this one and really
Are
giving
you
it a
performing live anywhere for people to know,
I
or?
just did a couple shows this past month. I just booked a couple new ones. They'll be showing up on the website soon enough.
Okay.
And like I said, then I'm working up the material with the drummer. So the plan, I like the idea of doing it as a duo, just myself and drums, kind of like the
Is that
album.
good? You're still doing it with Marco Miniman?
No, I mean, he will
Okay.
not be my live drummer. He will be. I mean, I'm already in talks of doing another one, so
Okay.
and so he would probably be on
Because you
that.
guys play like off each other so well. And that's what's
Yeah.
amazing to me about the album. I'm like, it just feels like a full band feeling. You know what I mean? And that was like, that's what surprised me. I'm like, it's just the two of you. And I'm like, wow, that's pretty epic, you know, for two people
I
to
appreciate
create
that.
that
That
big of
that's
a
been said.
sound.
Yeah, it's been said a few times. I really love that. I love the fact that people are kind of picking up on the interplay between him and myself and how well it worked. It came together really nicely, I gotta be honest. Like even
That's amazing, though. And then in the band, you're playing with a guitarist too, so that's a whole other dynamic as well, right?
yeah,
So you
that's
have to
one of
kind
the
of
things.
like have a balance of not. Do you have a bass player too? Like
No,
you don't need one because you've
so
what you're
that's one of the
doing.
things that, when I started writing this, it kind of became like, well, what was the purpose? What do you need another instrumental band for? And really, to me, how I define the difference between these is kind of in the live performance. I can do this material without a guitarist. I can do this material with just a drummer and myself. And this is
Yeah.
really meant to be. Watch me, I'm going to say, look at me more from the melody side. A lot of this is the
Yeah.
right hand playing, and then the bass is just kind of playing along. In Anzio Cry, I would say the difference, because I have a guitarist playing with me, is watch what I can do on the bass side of things. Watch, and so it's a little bit different, and then I think differently with that band, and that is like my role is to play the bottom end, first of all. But write songs that can feed off of other players. This particular album, Subsequent Ruins, was more about, my playing. Everything on there can be performed live like that. And that was
Wow.
important for me. It's just like
Yeah, because you could have
that
you and a
was
drummer
huge.
go out. Yeah,
Yeah.
and it's interesting that, or I think important, knowing your focus, you know, because in a band setting, it's like, everybody knows what their role is, but you know everybody's going to step over the line at some point. It's like, what are you doing, man? That's mine. You know, you know what I mean? So to
Yeah.
have that balance and you know to have another strings in there too, it's like, and it's funny because even when you're talking about going from piano, like I always consider piano strings. It is a string instrument, but it is percussive. Piano is incredibly percussive, you know. And you know, we used to play keys and organ. Like to me, organ has this incredible, especially if you're playing like the bass pedals, You can be super percussive with an organ, an old school organ. And I wish more people would play it that way. Like the old school church organs, when you have those bass pedals, there's this whole other thing you can do that I wish people did more than, you know, I know everybody likes
That's
the
fun.
Hammond B sound, but you know what I mean? There's this whole other, I think jazz does more of the percussive with organs. And maybe even Cuban music a little bit more, society piano a little bit more.
Yeah.
I don't know.
One of the things I think too, that in writing, when you're asking me how do I write the music, when I write the music on a war guitar, it naturally comes out a little bit like that, a little bit more percussive. And I think the
Yeah,
result
it
of
is percussive.
that, what you can do, yeah, because I think, trying to think how to explain it, but I think it's the idea that you have two hands that can either work together or separate, but when if they work together, you could do a lot of syncopation. You could do a lot of different things with your the tapping between the different sides that make it very percussive in nature, I think. And that's where a lot of the time signatures come as well, because you can get one time signature going in one hand and be playing over the top of the that with the other one, and then you start to create all these, you know, what you're hearing is like the
Yeah.
complication, stuff
I
like
think I
that.
understand it more from the keyboard side. Like now that I was like thinking about that, like understanding the bass pedals, you know. Now I understand a little bit more of how you're doing it. And then who created this? I mean, I don't it, there's not that many war guitarists around this country that I know of. Like
Yeah,
not like
not at all, no.
But it would be, it's such a cool instrument. Like to me, like if we had that in our band, we would have been able to take care of a lot of problems.
You know, it's interesting. This comes up quite often, and I always throw this out there. I've done a little bit of session work, and I'm starting to, it's getting more and more, but
Cool.
I really think that somebody is missing an opportunity, and a good example of somebody who actually saw it, seized it, and has done that is Peter Gabriel. Peter Gabriel
Oh,
uses
yeah.
Tony Levin plays a Chapman stick on a lot of the Peter Gabriel songs. But there is such an opportunity for this instrument to be a part of other settings. And I think people, for whatever reason, get scared off by it, too many strings, think that, you know, they're going to try to take over with the amount of strings. I don't know what it is. But I've showed up as to be a part of different things, and most times people just want me to play bass. And I think there's a missed opportunity there, because I think that it could separate them and distance them from everything else that exists out there by having a war guitarist, or a, you know, it's a very different sound that I think that could be explored on. I mean, what's to say it couldn't be on a pop song?
Or
And
funk. Like my thing went into funk and like some like crazy, like I could hear like you could, because it's yeah, the percussive element is like a whole other sound, like that could go in different directions according to the keys, according to the music. I mean, you're doing more of this progressive rock sound, right? And then at the end of the day, it could just turn around. I mean, you could even do reggae. Why not? I
right, yeah.
mean,
And because you know, you can
but it would
cover
be
two
different.
instruments with one. Like, you could be the
Yeah.
guitarist, you could be the solo guitarist, you could be the bass player. And yeah, I think there's a lot of missed opportunity. And you could be two people. You can,
That's
you
why
know,
I said it solves a lot of problems.
right?
It really does. I think it's like, I don't know. I just love instruments. Who created it? Do you know who created it? Is it American or?
Yeah, Mark Warr is the namesake that it was who created him, and a guy named Pete Henwinkle. So Pete did a lot of the actual building. Mark, it's his namesake. He was the person that did a lot of the branding of it. The two of them built made them for many years. Mark had some health issues, so he stopped for a little while. I have a handful of them that were made by Pete still, because Pete was still making
Wow.
them. And now Mark has created a brand new design for the next generation of war guitars. It's not out yet, to the public, but there's a if you go to warguitars.com, you'll see some pictures of his new design. So that's in existence. And then I have, like I said, some made by Pete as well. I even have one that has Pete's name on it as opposed to the war guitar name. So it's his name is Pete Hamwinkle. So that's the origins of it. It's been around early 90s, I would say. Like if you read, do your little history check on it, he created it, gave a couple to a handful of players to see and test them out and all that kind of stuff. One being, and I would say the name that kind of put war guitars on the map was Trey Gunn, King Crimson. Okay. So if you listen to the Thrack album, he played stick on, but then when he went on that tour, he started playing a war guitar. So a lot of the live albums from that era, which was mid 90s, he started playing a war guitar, and that's when it really kind of came into existence.
How exciting. I just think it's so cool to have new instruments, you know?
Yeah.
It's just, yeah, try something new, man. It's like, that's, I don't care what it is. Like, I want to know. It's cool because it's always like, it comes from ancient here and here, which is always interesting too, but it's like cool to have just something completely new, you know, that, you know, people may not know about. And for bands, I mean, it is like a, I mean, even on the road, you know about carrying gear. You know, it's like this could, you know, just whatever you can do as minimally as possible, right? You don't want every piece of gear on the road, you know, you just don't. So if you can have two in one, hey, why not? That's cool. It's been a pleasure having you on the show, Jason. Please keep us posted on your new albums from the band and from you. Please come back anytime. We love what you're doing. Awesome.
Absolutely.
I know
the
audience is going to love it. Everyone, go get it now. Subsequent Ruins. Go to jasonblakemusic.com. That's the website. And we want to thank you. And everyone, keep listening to new music. Thank you, Jason.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.